brave
against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
Verse 1.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. So keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die still fighting, it is no disgrace. Cowards in the service find a place. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight.
Must fight.
Be brave.
Be brave.
Against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Oh, keep on the firing line. Oh, how we'll praise the Savior for the call we have. Keep on the firing line. When we see the battles that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on that firing. Fight,
must fight.
Be brave,
be brave.
Against all evil.
Never run,
never run. Don't even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
One more time.
Oh, you must fight. Be brave. Against all evil, never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
Amen. Woo! Go ahead. Go ahead, Brother Seth.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
By my mind.
Amen. Who is excited to be here tonight?
Come on.
Who came to worship God? I don't know if this thing is on. Okay. All right. Amen, amen. It's good to be here. One more time.
Woo!
And you guys are going to have to bear with me because I came excited. I came full. I came fully loaded. I came thinking about that love affair. That beautiful love affair. Oh, Lord. I was thinking, Brother Moore talked about Hebrews 4:12. I was thinking about that today.
Right.
The word of God is quick.
Yes, sir.
That's a full statement right there. It excites me.
My.
Quick. You know what's funny is the bride turns quickly. She turns quickly. And that that word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. All right, here's a funny thing about two-edged sword, okay? Two-edged sword requires balance. Because if one side of the sword is too heavy, it's going to be off kilter. Sharper than any two-edged sword. I was thinking about that. Got me excited because you know what? You start thinking about it. God and me, I'm one.
Yeah.
Two of us together is one. Yes. You know what's funny about that is you look at that, and I was throughout this whole, until just recently, I was thinking, it was just until, it was God's will, God doing this, God, I did this. I came today. I come to praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Now it's by
the
goodness of God that I walked through these doors, but it was my choice.
Right.
I love that. Don't take that away from me.
No.
That excites me.
Yes.
Because God gave me
everything
that I need to
Amen.
Make it. If that doesn't excite you, if that doesn't if that doesn't lift you up, and that word is quick and more powerful than any two-edged sword, that you can cut through every single circumstance
Amen.
That comes your way, no matter what shortcoming you have, you can overcome it.
Right.
You have a promise that you can be like, you know what? Well, I got bills I have to pay. Lord will make a way. I have family problems. Lord makes a way.
Always.
Oh, but only if you make him a priority.
That's right.
That's
God
it.
Won't be second. He
Amen.
Won't be second. I'll tell you, he said he'll lift up a rock. That means he's going to do something else.
Right.
He's, I'm not going to, I'm going to be hot. I'm going to be quick.
Come on.
I'm going to turn quickly, just like that sword, because
Come on,
I have
brother.
Balance.
Amen.
Oh,
Amen.
But that doesn't stop there.
No.
Let, phone won't even work. It says, more powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Yes.
Because I only have one perfect realm.
That's it.
And that
that's
all
right.
it says is, amen, that's nothing but the truth. That's
amen.
It's only endless.
It mm-hmm.
But there's still that body.
Sure.
There's still that flesh.
Yeah.
The one you had to overcome to come here tonight. It's cold. Yes. Every excuse on a Wednesday in the middle of the week. But what'd you say? He said, I'm going to be here.
Right.
I'm going to count myself one of them.
Because
someone's got to say the Spirit and Bride say come.
Oh,
someone's
got to
say it.
Come on.
Who's else going to say it?
Oh,
you say you're the last voice of the last age.
That's right.
He said, and divide the joint and marrows and discerners of thoughts and intents of hearts. Intents. You didn't even have to say it.
Don't.
What is your heart's intent?
Ooh,
well, your heart's
on.
Intent, well, you're telling yourself. I'm telling you, telling yourself. You know what's funny? It's because, you know, talking about that love affair.
Yeah.
Oh. It takes two. I love that. At least two, Brother Moore said. That's what Brother Moore said. At least two. You know, you can love God. A lot of people love God. A lot of people go to church.
Oh, yeah.
But does God love them?
Yeah.
Does God love them?
Oh, you preach.
Did God sit there and whisper to you, hey, little bride, guess what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say when you can go back and look at what it was, back to the mind of Elohim, and you can go back and see where you're going to be in a rapture. In a rapture. You know that's going to come. He said the Spirit and the Bride say come.
Right.
He says when you have a body that is together, what is it, Brother Jim? Then the rapture can go.
Yes.
Because we're already in the midst of it. You're walking. This is the closest thing you have to a garden need condition right now.
Yes.
You're walking lip to ear with Jesus.
Come on.
God.
Already been
whatever you want to call it. All that he poured.
Right.
He poured into you.
Right.
And you're not any less.
Amen.
Oh, what is that? I don't want to sit on God with that.
No.
He wants to be worshipped.
That's right.
He said when he was up there, the angels worshipped him 24/7.
That's right. Sure.
Now that seat's empty. Where's the worship that's going to happen? It's going to happen
down here
right now.
Yep.
I'm not going to wait till just Sundays
Silence
and Wednesdays. It's not just a form or fashion for me.
My.
This is my life.
Yes.
This is what happens when you... You know what happens? You build something on a foundation that's strong.
Right.
Guess what doesn't happen?
It'll stand.
It doesn't sink.
No, sir.
Right. When you have a question, you're going to go through things. Don't even pretend like you don't go through things. You faltered a million different times to come in here, but you know what? That perfect love, that perfect love, that agape love, that love that was before the foundation, eternal love. Never forsake you.
Right.
Even when you forsaked him.
Tell the truth.
Even when you forsaked him, he says, I still love you. Because I know who you are. I know who you are. Oh, you know what? God shakes as his own. And sometimes God's got to break your legs, drag you back in here, no matter what the circumstances look like. And it's not always going to be pretty, but you know what? You can just say, I showed up. I came in.
Yeah.
All the scripture said, make it to the house.
That's right.
He didn't tell you how to get here.
Right.
We'll work on that once you get here. We got to get the people here first.
Yeah.
That's what I love with that down in South Carolina said. He says, he didn't say, look for the sheep. He just said, the sheep will hear my voice.
Right.
I'm going to ask you, your job's not to look for the sheep.
Right.
You're just to listen. You're a believer. You're just to say amen.
Right.
That's your only job. He works on you because you know what you do? You surrender. You become, I surrender all. What am I holding on to? I'm the final voice of the final age. All I got to do is say amen.
Right.
All I got to say is I believe it.
That's right.
All I got, you know what he does? He makes a way. He makes a single way. I don't care what circumstance you're facing to. Nothing is too big. He says, what shall separate you from the love of God? Nothing. I'm going to tell them, I'll just summarize that scripture real quick. Nothing. Not life, not death, not politics, not family, not emotions, not finances. Nothing will separate you. So God loves you. Do you love God? Because that's the only question we're asking now, because we know God loves us. That's already been established.
Yes.
But do we love God?
Love,
so I wanted to come up here because I came excited.
Yes.
I'm dry mouth. I'm so dry mouth. But I love God so much because you know what he did? He gave me breath.
Yeah.
He gave me breath. I may not have everything that I want, but I tell you what, I got everything I need.
Amen.
If nothing else, I've got a mind that knows what it is,
right.
And I can see it. I can understand it.
Amen.
If nothing else, I'm set for the rapture.
Amen.
You don't need anything else. If he reveals nothing else to you,
come on.
He showed you in this day and age, you've had an upper room experience. You know who you are. You need nothing else.
Right,
whether he gives you anything else on this side, it's just icing on the cake.
Right.
He
right.
showed you who you were. He says, I saw you before the foundation of the earth, and you are signed, sealed, and delivered. So why shouldn't I praise the Lord?
Amen.
Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He has been so good to me.
Amen.
He has done what this world will never do. This world can't give you peace of mind. What it wants to do is sow seeds of confusion and dissent.
Right.
It wants to separate you. It wants to say that you're not part of this. I tell you what. This is what this has come across this pulpit. If it pulls you from the word, it's the devil.
It
has to tie you back.
Right.
Well, God told me I should probably go to Texas for a job. Well, God bless. God bless. Amen. I've never seen Brother Moore fight for somebody. He won't fight for you because he's not one of yours. He'll fight for his sheep, though.
Amen.
If you're struggling and you need something, by example, he'll answer that phone call in the middle of the night.
That's right.
What do you need? We'll be there for you. We will be there for you. The body will be for you. Because you tied yourself back to it. So forgive me, but I'm a little bit excited because I came here to praise God. Because this is the only place where you can say something and not look like a crazy person.
That's right.
Because guess what? We're in like mind. I'm good. I'm done.
You know, there's two meanings to that word quick. Quick and powerful. Quick also means living.
Yes.
Life.
Yes.
It's a quick word.
Yeah.
It's quick. You know, it's a move quick. It moves with life. Anything with life moves. And it moves quickly.
Yes.
You know, I'm sitting there thinking about, you know, where we're at.
Oh my.
You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, Satan always puts something, there's always be something that's got to happen before. You know, something always got to happen before. For a while, it was the thunders. You know, and I realized, no, that all happened in 63. It's coming. It brought it all. Now, I'm catching myself thinking, well, the hat's got to be in the right place. Hat was in the right place in 63.
Amen.
I'm not waiting for anything else.
Amen.
Nothing else. Everything that needs to happen in this day has already happened. And it's real to me. You know, and it's funny because it makes it so real there, but then it makes life so real.
Yes.
I was down at my friend's mother's funeral this morning, and I seen a lot of people I grew up with, teenagers with, went to school with, and such a love and a connection there. And I was coming away back, and I said, isn't that wonderful? I've got them every one.
Yes.
It don't matter if I ever see them again. I was so thankful to see them and hug them and to, you know, talk about old times and things, but I've got them every one.
Yeah.
You know, that's a no so.
Yes, that's a no.
You know, the best the church world has is a hope so.
Yeah.
Maybe so. But this bride has a no-so.
Yes.
Like nobody has ever had in all of time.
Right.
We're right at the door.
Yes.
You know, he's talking about the spirit and the bride. Say, come.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the spirit, we put it way over here.
Yeah.
And we put bride way over here. But where's that spirit at?
Right.
That spirit's in the bride.
Amen.
We're not waiting for that to come together. We're not waiting to get in unison with that.
Right.
The spirit and bride's in me.
Amen.
And it's calling for it. It's say, come.
Yes.
And I was thinking about a husband and wife, you know, because all these types perfectly with a husband and wife.
Amen.
Sometimes a husband get ready, speak for myself. I get ready, my wife's still getting ready. I'm sitting there and I'm saying, honey, whenever you're ready, You know, I got keys in my hand, my hat, my gloves are on. I'm ready to go out the door. So whenever she's ready,
yeah,
I'm ready to go.
Amen.
And that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Bride, whenever you're ready,
yeah,
he's ready. He's been ready.
Come on.
We're ready to go home. You know how powerful
Amen.
That is?
Amen.
Just think on that for a second.
Yes.
And the bride has made herself ready.
Ah.
We're not fixing our hair anymore.
No.
We're not trying to get something in place anymore.
Oh, my.
We're ready.
Yeah.
And the Spirit's ready.
Yes.
And the Spirit and bride say, come.
That's right.
And I'm thinking, Lord, where are we at?
Amen.
This is so real.
Yeah. My.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Amen.
He's real. He's real. He's so real to me. So she. Oh, yes. He's so real to me. So many people doubt
so many.
Him. But I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me.
I know he's
real. He's real. He's so real to me. Sister Elise, thank you, were first.
You know, I was thinking about that love affair. We are so blessed. You know, we chose God and God chose us.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking, I love God. I really, really love God. You know, my mom, she sends us scriptures every morning on the way to school, you know, to get us, you know, in the right vibe or right mindset. And I thank God for that. And she sent me one, and it was, people have struggled. All through the Bible, they struggled to know what we know.
Right.
You know, we are so blessed. And all God wants me to do is just listen and say thank you.
That's
it's the easiest thing in the world, you know?
Amen.
And I was thinking, you know, think about it, types of husband. My husband, I am so blessed to have my husband. You know, a lot of other women wanted my husband, but I got him. You know, God is not everybody's husband. He's mine, you know? And I thank God for that. I'm blessed for that. And I will never sit down on that.
Right.
And, you know, I was thinking, it's a fight. It's a struggle. The world is a struggle, but you don't have to struggle. You know, it's one of those silly things. I'm listening to this book, and this person, they have all these amazing weapons, and they're not afraid of anything because they have the weapons, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of anything.
No,
I've got
that's right.
weapons that will overcome everything. There is no struggle for me. You know, if anything comes up, I'm like, oh, God already looked around the corner
that's
and saw
right.
it. I can't tell you how many times he has
yeah.
looked around the corners for me,
yeah.
and that's because he loves me. And you
Amen.
Know what I mean? All the things he does for me and all he wants me to do is listen. It's like, it just blew my mind. I was like, it's so simple. Thank you. And I just want to say, you know, the question, do you love God? Yes. At least Alan loves God.
Amen.
Go ahead. Amen. Do I love God? Yes. I get up because, you know, you have to overcome by the word of your testimony.
That's right.
I want to say I'm a believer. I'm healed. I'm not backing up on his word.
That's right.
And I'm so grateful that I know no matter how many mistakes I make, no matter how many times he has to thump me in the head, I come back every Amen. Single time because I love him. I love yes. him. I love him. I love him. I love him. Can I get a G or something? Give me something. I'm sung out already. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. They had an old song back in the church where I used to go. And you got to understand, I get up. They say, Sister Moore, you get up all the time. Amen. Y'all have to understand, I'm running for my life. I'm Amen. Running for my life. I'm not playing. I'm running for my life. 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 If anybody. If anybody asks you, what's the matter with me? Just tell them I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and I got Jesus on my side, and I'm running for my life. 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 If anybody asks me, what's the matter with me? Just tell them I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and I've got Jesus on my side, and I'm running for my life. I'm sorry about my voice, y'all. I know it's rough. But you know, something about this atmosphere,
yeah.
something about the Holy Ghost makes you want to give it all.
Amen.
All I know, I come in the door. I'm already up there. I know I'm not supposed to be singing, but I can't help it. you got to get in the atmosphere. Think of those words of that song. It said, if I'm in a battle for the Lord and the right,
yeah.
keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely. You must fight. Keep yes. on. There's, you know, I can't help it. I don't care what kind of week I've had. I don't care how many times I've fell. No, I don't care how many. There's something inside of me.
Yeah.
I love this. I will keeping getting up and trying. I always do better. I'm working on it. I'm working on it because that's what I want. That's what I really want. This is what I really love. You must declare yourself an overcomer.
Yeah.
And I do. Thank you, Jesus. Come on.
Amen, amen.
You know, we're not weak Christians.
No, no, no.
And I thank God I'm part of a body that we're not weak. We're strong.
Amen.
Brother Moore, you put it in us.
Amen.
Brother Childress, put it in us. And I thank God that I can stand right with you all. Because you know what? Can't. Nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus, 'cause he's my friend. Pick no. My God, and he told me to run on. He's my friend. Can't nobody do me like done. I'm done. Now I'm going to just say one thing. I love this body because you know what? You all will get with me. And I'm going to tell you, the world, they only go with you so far. But this body, they'll go with you. They'll keep it all the way. And I thank God for that. You know, love is not based on merit. And a lot of times when you deal with filial love, it comes, it goes, it ebbs and it flows. But this is a steady love. There's a song in the world called Steady Love. NDRE. Now that song is gorgeous. Y'all might want to check that out. I love the video, but I get to be myself here. I don't have to pretend here. I can lay down that sword. Oh my God, I can take off my breastplate and I can just lay it out. But I can be myself here and I don't have to worry. What a peace. What a rest. Thank you, Brother Moore. Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. Thank you, body, because it's all of us. You know, we don't have any big I's and little U's here. What a place. You don't get that everywhere, and I'm so glad to be identified.
Amen, amen.
We're going to sing What a Mighty God We Serve, but remember the announcements. We got the song service for Christmas on the 22nd. No Wednesday night service that following Wednesday. Brother Rosaldo will be in town the 29th through New Year's, and then New Year's service. So it's gone by quick. Let's sing this, and we'll get him up. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God I serve. For angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God I serve. Oh, what a mighty God I serve. I know thee. All of. Oh, what a mighty God I. Jesus is the God.
What a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God I serve. Oh, what a mighty God I serve. I know what the angels do. Holy angels. All of heaven and earth. Oh, what a mighty God I. One more time. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and go before the Lord in prayer. The reason why we came here. Lord, bless the service tonight as we enter into this presence. Lord, you're here. We're not waiting for you to get here. We brought you with us. Lord, move the hearer and the speaker out of the way. Let us hear what you have for us, the next set of instructions. We're here, so it must be more work to do. Lord, bless us and just move all the distractions that anything that could so easily beset us to get us just to a few moments with you that we can enjoy and hear what you have to say. Lord, bless the prayer requests, some spoken and some unspoken tonight, and bless the word as we prepare to enter in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here tonight. Good singing that song. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. I love how Sister Elise said it. She says she's blessed. She's got a great husband. A lot of people would love to have a husband like that. Provides, supports, loves, encourages, bring you to the Word of God. Who wouldn't want that? Yeah, you know what I mean? And now think about what we have. You know, and she said it right. She said, a lot of people would love to have that. A lot of people would love to have the peace I have. A lot of people would love the stability that I have. A lot of people would love the carefree things that I can go through. I can go to a funeral and have a smile on my face when I leave. I can go to the hospital and know while I'm there. I know why I'm there. I can go through a health scare and know why I'm there. I have the answers to every question that any devil asks me. I know every man I meet. I have the opportunity to have discernment. I can keep my spirit right. I know where everybody's at. If somebody has a lack of understanding, I have enough understanding to help them. If somebody has no love, I got enough love to cover them. If somebody wants to abuse me, I got enough love to let it happen. I can pray for those that despitefully abuse me. Oh, my. Where do you get that peace, Brother Jay? Where do you get that rest? My husband provides it. He provides it. He's already provided. Hey, matter of fact, he said, ask what you will. Ask what you will. And the world goes out there and they wish they could serve God. And we can say it. You know, a lot of times when we say that, sometimes it scares people when they go, well, God loves everybody. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. There's too many scriptures, but we can just go to the one scripture where it says, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we serve? He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never loved you. I never liked you. I never wanted you. You have no... Matter of fact, Jesus even said it. He said, why can't you hear my words? Why is this peace not entering into you? Because you're of your father, the devil. You're not one of my kids. You're a bastard. Oh, my. Anyway, I'm excited. I love the testimonies of believers. That gets me stirred up. So I got a little subject here we're going to go over. However long it is, we always say, if it's 5 minutes, great. If it's an hour, great. Whatever it is, long as it's God, I want to hear it. And so I'm looking forward to this. Pastor Moore preached on Sunday about a love affair. It was beautiful. It was timely. It was exactly what we needed. It's a great way to talk about it. And we're going to stay there a little bit tonight. Talking about the love of God a little bit. And I got a title here for you guys as well. And got some scriptures and all that kind of good stuff. Yeah, I know. I'm prepared. I'm loaded. Yeah, I'm loaded. I like I tell my wife, You know, there's a prayer Brother Branham said. I'll share this with you guys. That a guy was preaching, and he was all boastful when he got up. And high-minded, got up real just excited, thinking he knew what it was, and was like, I'll show them. I'll preach the best message they ever heard. And when he got up there, it was a dud. Yeah, it was not a good message. He came up here telling people to remember his notes, and they did nothing to remember. And he got down, and Brother Branham said, had he went up like he came down, humble, he would have came down like he went up. And I always remember that prayer. So no matter what I have, if I got a scripture, it's great. If I don't have a scripture, I don't. It's still great to me. I just want to hear what God has to say. So I come here with the same expression, whether I have nothing or something, because he's bringing it, right? He's the one that's bringing it. So we study, show ourselves approved, but every now and again, it'll just go. Yeah, it'll go everywhere. I'll have 5-6 pages, and I'll be like, I start testifying and preaching, and then I never get back to it. But anyway, that's just a little stuff for me. That's just the nerves leaving. But I'm here now, but I'm looking forward to what God's got to give for us. And Pastor Moore was talking about that love affair, and it was, like I said, it was a beautiful message. But, you know, he asked some questions there. He said, you know, how do you even do it? You know, do you even know what to keep? You know, talking about, you know, keeping this message. And I said, you know, and he even said, you know, if you don't feel close to God, who moved? You know, and he was asking that, and then he even went over in the book of John and read in chapter 4 a little bit, 1 John chapter 4, and then Sunday night. Now, I know we don't talk about Fight Club. We don't mention it. But Sunday night, Brother Jim did read 1 John chapter 4. So that's the most I can give everybody listening online, is that was one thing that happened on Sunday night. Other than that, I won't tell anything else. What happens on Sunday night stays on Sunday night. So, but Brother Jim did read that, and it was a beautiful scripture reading. And I loved it, and I appreciated it. And we'll keep going in this, but I got a little bit of a reading here that I want to do, and it's over in John 13, and I'll pull this up here, but just for a little bit of context, you know, even Brother Don Deskins was jumping all over this. He said, the bride, you know, he said, the husband's ready, and said, the bride has to make herself ready, and then we're ready to go. But the bride has made herself ready. You know, when you're talking about love, I just got excited when I saw this, because when did Jesus start speaking about love for them? You know, there's a set time where he told the disciples about love. Now, we've got it throughout the Bible. There's multiple scriptures about love. But there was a specific time where Jesus started getting ready to go that he then gave the disciples a new commandment. And that was when he was ready to go. That's when it was over. That's when he realized his hours had come. Time was up. Then he was like, hey, before I leave here, one of the last signs, one of the last commandment I got to give you. All that other stuff was good, but to get over to where I'm going, where you can meet me, let me give you this one last little commandment that'll summarize everything. It'll take care of all top 10 commandments. It'll take care of all top 10 lists. I'm going to give you one more commandment that'll take care of everything. And so when you talk about being ready to go, I'm like, this is the perfect timing for it. So let's go over and read John 13. Yeah, John chapter 13. I'll get this pulled up here, and we'll do a little bit of reading. And so, like I said, over in John chapter 3, it talks about a lot of stuff. It talks about Passover and the Last Supper. This is when he outs Judas and tells all of them who's going to betray him. It's a lot of stuff, and I'm trying to go down through it, right? You guys can read it later, and I'm just trying to get through for Wednesday night. But it's a lot of good reading there, and Jesus is, before I even get to this, but like, it even talks about how when Jesus was telling the disciples, like, who's going to out him, Jesus says, you know, all of you are bad. Like, because they were doing some foot washing, and they were like, well, we got to wash your feet, you got to do this. So they were having some discussions, but Jesus was like, you're all bad. You're going to all betray me eventually, but, and they were like, wait, who, me, this and that? And he's like, so then when he finally says, hey, when I dip it in here, whoever I give it to, that's who's going to, then Satan entered into Judas. Jesus had already known this, but that's beautiful. That's a whole other message. But anyway, let's get to it. Down to verse 34, and it says, and this will give us our title too. So down in verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you. Now this is in red letter, so I'm not making this up. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know, not just believers, right? Everybody should know. When we say the word all, like that says, all men should know. See, because sometimes we're believers around church people. Right? Like, we know that. Sometimes you act Christian around Christians. Sometimes you act godly just when you're in the sanctuary. Sometimes you reverence the word just when the pastor's around. Sometimes the fellowship is godly when the ministers are there. I'm just saying that, right? I'm just reading. It says, by this shall all men know. Everybody should know. It just makes me remember one time, and I'm going to read it, but it just makes me remember one time I heard somebody, and I'm trying to remove names to protect the innocent. I heard somebody use a foul word, right? A curse word. I heard a person say that. Now, we can, out in the world, you can hear that all the time. And somebody said to them, you must use that so often, because they said, oh, man, that accidentally came out. He said, you must use it so often that it's just natural to speak like that, right? You can't say it's an accident because you use that all the time. You were just pretending around me, right? You were just use the words that you think I like. These are not your words. These are your words. You like to use these. That's how you like to talk at work. That's how you like to talk at home. That's how you like to talk. You're using your normal language. You tried to clean it up for me, but that's how you like to talk. Right? And so I thought about that and said, all men shall know. Now, we don't have to put on for airs with one another. Like Sister Belinda said, I can take my breastplate off and be myself here. I'm just being myself here when I read this. You know, if the shoe fits, you can wear it. But if not, let it go. Right? It's like Brother Children said, you know, you want to know who got hit when I throw a rock? The dog that yelps. Right? So just keep saying amen and nobody will know that you have a language problem. Just keep saying amen and everybody will think you're okay. Anyway. So anyway, verse 35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love to one another. Amen. That's how they're going to know. Amen. That's my title. How will they know? Right? Because we talk about a love affair, and I know, I get this, and here, and let's put this in there. I know how to get close to God. It's like three things. Three things to get close to God. You get to the house. That's number one, regardless, get to the house. Pastor Moore even said, even if you don't live around this church, get to a church. So get to the house is the number one prescription. Read your Bible, right? You guys know these. And pray. I'm not making up some new things. That's how you get closer to God. But how do you show your love? Right? Because reading my Bible don't help anybody. That helps me get closer to God, but that doesn't help Brother Isaiah if his car's stuck in a ditch. Praying, that praying's good. I'm not dismissing prayer. Matter of fact, Pastor Moore, at the end of service, we need some prayer for my wife and our business. We want to get a prayer cloth for that. So just throwing that out there. I'll do something to remind us. Anyway, but I'm not giving rid of prayer. Prayer is a part of it. That's how you get close to God. But that's not what Jesus said. Like, it's in addition to. You can get close to God, but you need to show love to one another. There's got to be some love there. You know, it makes me think about Brother Lockett and his black-eyed peas. Just black-eyed peas and water don't make it good. You got to put some love in there. Now, in my life, I've had black-eyed peas with just water. I had black-eyed peas. But if somebody put some love in there, I'm like, where are the black-eyed peas at? I'm looking for them. I'm excited to see them. There's some love in there. When you meet a Christian with love, it should be different than the rest of the world. There should be a peace. There should be serenity. There should be an openness. You should be able to, you ever realize that sometimes people come in here and they say, at work, people just feel like they can open up to me. Why do they feel that? Why do they feel that they can be honest with you? Why do they feel that they can lay their life out for you and know they're not going to face judgment, persecution, the atmosphere? You've created a Christian atmosphere. So they're like, oh, this is a godly place. I can worship. I can just I can confess. I can repent. I can turn around. I can change in this atmosphere. That's how Jesus had that atmosphere. When he was on the cross, there was one person that recognized that atmosphere. He said, whoa, hey, we're supposed to be up here, buddy. We've stole, we've robbed, we stealed, we cheated, we did all those things. You know this guy's not supposed to be here. He said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. Jesus wasn't up there preaching. He just had a Christian walk his whole life. And by that, all men should know. Now, we know that. But how do you show your love? You know, Pastor Moore was hammering on it, and I thought, man, you know, I was thinking about an example, and you guys were just knocking them out of the park and the wedding and the marriage examples. And I thought, man, I don't have anyone left, but I got one. I've been married long enough to have a couple examples. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, I got a wife. I've got two kids. We go to church. Now, what if I go home and I don't go back to work? Able-bodied man. Don't go to work. And my wife gets up and she has to go to work because we got bills. She comes home and I'm like, kids need it a lot. She goes, okay. I'm praying for you to have some strength. Take care of these kids. Praying for you to make it through work. She goes, well, what's for dinner? Whatever you cook. And then when the meal's served, I pray over it. I'm praying. I'm believing. I set the alarm. Get up. Time to go. Right? I'm just telling you. Right? Now keep, stay with me. We go to church. We sleep in the same bed. We're close. I'm praying for her. I'm reading my Bible. I'm saying, hey, go, you can do this. I'm encouraging her. But I ain't helping.
No.
I'm in the way.
Amen.
Now think about yourself. You come here. Your grass needs to be cut. Pray for you, Skylar. Hope you edge it. Brother John, hope you put some gas in there. You brothers, I'm praying for you. Come in here. The church needs to be vacuumed. Oh, God bless those sisters. I'm glad they made it here on Tuesday to get it ready for us. All right, you ain't did nothing. You're not doing anything. You're in the way. You're making the mess. I'm just telling you, because sometimes we over-spiritualize things. Oh, how can I help? How can I be a love? How can I show? How can they know? There's things to do. There's a cleaning list you can sign up for. There's a sound room. There's something. There's this. There's just stuff to do in here. Let alone be an example at work. Let alone be an example at home. I'm saying there's multiple places. Everywhere you go, all men should know. At work, they should know. I'm not telling you to carry a Bible, but they should know that there's something different about you. When things go haywire, there should be a steadiness in you that says, oh, I can handle this. There should be a calm about you when the storms come up that says, I can handle this. I'm just telling you from experience. Don't talk about helping me. Help me. Help me. Right? And I thought about that. I thought, you know, a lot of times we talk about showing love and trying to make it so hard to do. It's not hard to show love. It's not hard to even say they're paying attention. If Pastor Moore used that example about singing songs, didn't the atmosphere feel better when you were singing? That, you know, if you're not singing, Oh Magnify the Lord can go on for 100 hours. People are like, don't they have any other verses? They have another chorus? Like, the song is long if you're not singing along. If you're singing, you're like, let's go. Sing it again. Yeah, because it stirs up the memory. You're thinking about the words. God has smiled on me. You think about your life, how he smiled. If you're singing along, it does make it a little bit easier for you. But if you're sitting like, if you're a part of it, because this ain't a spectator sport. You got to be a participant in here. And if you're not, stop lying to yourself. Just stop coming. You're in the way. You're just in the way. You're hurting yourself. You went through a cold. You went through this. You drove your car. All that to waste your time? Don't do it. You're wasting your time. We don't need you. Oh, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? I can be plain here. If it's 100% of us and 33% are carrying, I'm just telling you, if you're carrying weight and somebody takes one off, it makes it a little bit easier. I don't have to have the lights on all the time if you're not going to keep coming in here. I'm just telling you, Pastor, this is just common sense stuff. I'm talking to myself. You got to be more consistent. You got to be more. All those things are real. But we try to over-spiritualize. How can I show love? Nobody lives close to me. How can I show love? Nobody comes over. Why is it that nobody wants to come to your house? Is it clean? Do you have a good atmosphere? Have you invited anybody over? Have you cooked anything for somebody? Have you made a meal that somebody would like? Have you done anything? I'm just saying. Right? If I want to go hang out with Brother Doug, who's a saint, right? Throw that at the best. That's why I like to use my example. I'm going to be fishing. Right? I don't know how to fish. I don't like fishing. This is just honest time. I don't like anything about it. I love sitting on the boat. I like sitting on that boat. Doug likes fishing. So we get on that boat together, and now we're fellowshipping. Because he likes to fish. I like to sit on the boat. The sacrifice is he doesn't have any help, because I'm not going to help him with anything. And the fish, when he rings it up, I'm like, you got it. He brings the net over. You want to unhook it? You got it. Well, I get out of the way. But he has somebody with him. So he compromised, I compromise. I don't want to fish. I just sit there. He don't have no help, but I got fellowship. That's compromise. And that's just an example. I'm only using myself because I'm up here. But what have you done? What have you done? Why haven't you went fishing with Brother Doug? Why haven't you called him up? What have you? What are you? Do you even know? Have you even discerned the Lord's body to see what the needs are? Have you even asked somebody? Oh, I get it. We're in here in church and we feel great. And you leave and you're like, well, they all seem happy. Did you talk to them in the parking lot? You call them beforehand. We always talk about how we got everybody's number. Matter of fact, the church director, he's leaving tonight. We're going to fix that. But I'm just saying, you got everybody's phone number, their email, their house, their address. And you got every possible way to get a hold of them. And they volunteered the information. So they said, call me. If you're a part of Fairborn Community Tabernacle, you are allowed to call me. So if you're by yourself, it's your fault. It's your fault. You chose. You've decided. We talk about free moral agency. You've decided to be alone. So don't complain about it. Be content. Oh. Come on. Come on. How dwelleth the love of God? Let's read a scripture. Let's read a scripture. Now, we're going to stay in John a little bit. I think this is 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and 10. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read through. It's got like three or four verses that I want to read, but I'll kind of jump down from verse from in 1 John 3. I'll be jumping down, so I'll call out the scriptures as I go through them. And it says, on verse 10, it says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doth not righteous, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Oh. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning. From the beginning, it's not new. This ain't just some new message. We talked about this back in Cain and Abel. He said, not as Cain, who was the wicked one and slain his brother. Let's drop down to verse 14. We know that we have, this is a select group, not everybody, not all, but we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How can you say you love God? How can God even be in there? Hey, and then Jesus even said, how can you love a God you don't see? If you can't love your brother, who you do see? It takes faith to love God, but you should be easily able to love your brother. It's not even hard, is what he's saying. You can see your brother believing this thing and pushing forward. It's easy to love your brother. Oh, my, my, my. See, not just in tongue. That's verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, not just in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, like doing something, in deed and in truth. I love those two together. I love those two together because sometimes you just want to do a good deed. But doing a good deed, you got to have some truth in there. Sometimes loving your brother is telling them that they're wrong. Sometimes loving your brother is correction. Sometimes loving your brother is pulling them up out of the mud. Hey, you're going the wrong way. Let's turn this thing around. Sometimes loving your brother is letting them know the truth. You've got to be able to speak the truth if that's a real friend. That Pastor Moore has shown us that over and over again. No matter where you stand, he's going to have to tell you the truth. You could be standing at the door saying, I'm never coming back if you tell me the truth. I'm sorry. I got to tell you the truth. Hopefully that spirit gets off of you and you come back. But I got to tell you the truth. That's been our example. How will they know? There should be some love. There should be a love amongst the body. We should have a love for one another. The love that I have for you guys is more than I even have for my natural family. I love them. But the love I have here, I have an obligation. to tell you the truth no matter what. Sometimes with my family, I got to coddle them. I can't tell them the whole truth. They can't handle it. Like the movie A Few Good Men, they can't handle the truth. They can't. They don't even want it. They don't want it. They some of my family members have been here and they said, "Nah, I don't want it." So now I can't tell them the truth. And that's a compromise for me because I'm only used to telling the truth. So when we get together, it's a little bit of a compromise. That's why the Bible even says, "Don't be unequally yoked," because you really can't fellowship like you want to. I can't say the service was amazing. What service? What church? You don't have to always go to that church. There's other churches. There's other Bibles. That's how they talk. They, oh, that's not the only one, right? Well, I know they're right. They may not be the only one. I'm not even saying it. I just know they're right. I don't need to go check another reference when I got the correct answer. You got to go check when you don't know who's right. So, of course, you're going to say that. You don't know who's right. That's why you don't know we're right. But I know we're right. So I'm standing steadfast, unmovable. I'm like a tree that's planted by the water. My roots go so deep I can go before time. And I can go when time ends.
Amen.
So I'm not moving. Oh, my, my, my. Saints, we are blessed. Now, when you have this revelation that we have and inspired by love, there's no limit to what you can do. No limit. And I was reading over, I'm going to share this with y'all, over in Brother Branham preached couple messages called Super Sign, but this one is 1962. He preaches the message called Super Sign, and he's talking about different signs of what the world has been asking for, and he's talking about how, you know, God gave a miraculous sign. He said, you know, a virgin shall conceive. That was one of the greatest signs you can show, you know, but to the church world, skip right over it. I mean, it was as basic as they could make it, but he wasn't born in a hospital. Brother Brown said, like, in a nice basket with a pink blanket, none of that. Born in a manger. The lowest you can get with the animals. And they skip right over that super sign. But he went to talk about a lady called Fanny Crosby. And you guys probably know Fanny Crosby. Back in the 1800s, Fanny wrote a lot of songs. So in some of the old church books, you got the songs that Fanny wrote. And, you know, she wrote, I'll go a couple of them. Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Beautiful song. She wrote Blessed Assurance. And this third song she wrote, this was what I got excited about. Because she wrote a lot of songs. This is just these three I got up here. But she was visiting a neighbor. And this neighbor was upset because they didn't have much money. They were down and out, mad about not having a lot of money. And Fanny said, you know, Fanny could agree with that situation. Like, her and her husband both were blind. They didn't have a lot of money. But Fanny had to tell him the truth, though. She's like, yeah, you can, well, take the world, but give me Jesus. That was one of her famous songs, Give Me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Don't complain about not having money. I'm content with what I have. I have Jesus. I have enough to make it. I'm like Brother Seth said, I may not have all I want, but I got everything I need.
Amen.
I got Jesus. That's it. I don't need anything else. I'm content. I got Jesus. I can give him a praise. I've got Jesus. That's the difference. And even Brother Branham was talking, and he said, you know, Brother Branham was in the back of Brother Branham. He said, you know, why didn't you write songs like this or write worldly songs? And Fanny said, because I'm a Christian. Hey, oh, Fanny, you could make so much more money if you wrote worldly songs. You could be all over the world with all this. And she said, but I'm a Christian. Here Fanny is blind. Her and her husband are blind. She was blind from a doctor's mistake. Living in a life of poverty. She could have wrote any song she wanted. She was a great songwriter. You guys heard some of the songs that listed. Blessed Assurance, amazing song. Give Me Jesus, an amazing song. Divinely inspired songs. They said, why don't you write worldly songs? Because I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
On top of all this other stuff, I'm a Christian. Regardless of the worldly gains I could get, regardless of the jobs I can get in Texas, regardless of all this stuff, why do you go to Fairborn? Because I'm a Christian. Why do you serve God? Because I'm a Christian. Why are you able to forgive when everybody else can't? Because I'm a Christian. Why can you show love when nobody else can? Because I'm a Christian. How can you sit at a table with Democrats and Republicans? Because I'm a Christian. It don't matter who you voted for, I can sit down beside you. It don't matter what color your skin is, what gender you claim, what any of those things are. I'm a Christian. That supersedes all that stuff. Oh, that's why you don't have no right to get bent out of shape of what's going on in the world. I'm not of this world. If it was, I'd fight for it. But I have no reason to get mad at what they do. Give Caesar what's Caesar's. Amen. Then let them have what they want to have. If they want to have divorces and broken up homes and no peace, have it. Take it. That's them. But I'm going to work through my issues. I'm going to push through. I'm going to stand up when everybody else sits down. I'm going to move forward when everybody else stops. I'm going to love when everybody else hates. I'm going to stay a sound mind when everybody else is crazy. Why, Brother Jay? Because I'm a Christian. That's why. That's what you see on me that's different than the rest of the world. When the rest of the world falls and can't make it, I stand up and say, I was built for this. Oh, you're so strong in your mind. Where did you get it from? From God. He said, let this mind be in you. Woo! Woo! I can't even take credit for it. He gave it to me. He gave this to me. Oh, it's not anything that I should even. I'm not even boasting about it. I'm just telling you what it is. Oh my! It's a fact. Like Pastor Moore says, it's just the facts, ma'am. It's just the facts. My whole life has shown you. Oh my! I love what God is doing for us. He keeps blessing us. So then I looked at that and I thought, Fanny showed us content, praise, be an example. That's how you can show love. Be content wherever you find yourself. And you should always have a praise in your heart. Oh, one of the best testimonies I ever saw. Now, I got a lot of them in my mind. Got Brother Steve sitting on the front row just to get a good seat. Song leaders see somebody up there and they're like, he must be in line. Number 46, come on up. Brother Steve was like, I was just sitting there for a good seat, but I got a praise. I always got a praise. If you're going to hand me the mic, I got something to say. God's been too good for me to sit down on it. If you're going to give me a chance, I believe I'll testify while I have a chance. That turns me on. That gets me excited when I can see an elder that's been through this and been through that come in here and say, I've got a praise. What do you want me to do now then? Sit down? I can't turn it down now. You've just lit that fire. I'm on fire now. Thank you. You threw another log on there. I was getting cold. Woo! See, when these things happen, I get turned on by them. Never be afraid of being a good example. Brother Jeremiah has taught me that. Don't be ashamed of this thing. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know too much about God to be ashamed about it. He's blessed me too much to want to hold back at all. If he wants money, take the money. You want time? You can have the time. You want the family? Take the family. You can have whatever you want. It's yours anyway. See, because sometimes I feel like we think something's yours. You don't have nothing. Nothing. You don't have nothing. You didn't bring nothing. God didn't want nothing. The best you can give is filthy rags. A sweaty handkerchief is the best you can give God. He don't even want that. Matter of fact, when it's time to laundry, normally I have about 5 or 6 of these bad boys. And they're so dirty and balled up. Even my wife don't want to wash them. She's like, you just buy another pack, bub. They don't even want your filthy rags. Right? I'm just telling you. And we come and present it to God like, here you go. I've read today. He don't want your filthy rags. Don't try to boast about doing anything. Just do it in love, and then it's not work. I do this because I love it. I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. I won't get tired. Matter of fact, I won't even be satisfied until I awaken his likeness. Right now, only one realm of me is perfect. I won't be satisfied until all three are. Oh, Brother Jay, what are you talking about? You know the three realms, flesh, spirit, and soul. My soul is the only thing perfect. My flesh needs help. My spirit realm needs to be forgotten. But my soul is perfect. And I won't be satisfied till I get my glorified body, till I get my theophany. Till I'm perfect, that's when I'll be satisfied. That's even what the ministry's for the perfecting of the saints. It's to get you ready to get out of here so we can go be made perfect. I can't be made perfect right here. I need a change. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, I'll rejoice. Until then, I'll carry on. I'll fight. I'll keep fighting. As long as I'm on the front line, I'm going to keep fighting. That's why I got to keep firing in my line of sight. Amen. That's what I'm called to do. Oh, my. Mm. I thought, how can we forgive when the world can't? You know, we've seen many examples of that. And sometimes we think we boast in our forgiveness. Well, I forgive that brother. He did me wrong. Stop bringing it up then. Right? If you really forgave him, quit bringing it up. Because all you do is scratch the wound. Let it scab over and heal. Leave it alone. Right? I've had different disagreements. Pastor Moore told me, stop bringing that stuff up. Right? You can't keep bringing problems up. If you got over it, get over it.
Amen.
If you throw it in the sea of forgetfulness, then forget it. Stop bringing it up. Then it's on you. Then it's on you. If somebody did me wrong and I forgive them, but I keep going back in that blood and trying to pull it back, that's me. They're fine now. I'm the one with the problem. I can't forgive. I can't let it go. And I get it. You know, I know people want to, well, you don't know how bad they, shut up. Shut up. You don't know how bad I've been treated then if we're going to play that game. You don't know what I went through. You don't know how bad I got it. Right? Because you always wonder, oh, you don't know how bad they treated me. They took this from me. They said, I don't care. I just told you nothing you have is yours. So they took what you were borrowing. You thought you stole it, but somebody else borrowed it now. It's just a library. You turn the book in, somebody else can read it. Oh, they took my car. It wasn't yours anyway. They took my house. It wasn't yours anyway. They took my money. It wasn't yours anyway. Stop acting like all this stuff is yours. You're like a two-year-old kid pouting and crying. Be an adult. We're mature in this thing. The bride has made herself ready or not. Are we at the end of this thing or the beginning? Are you in a baby or are you an adult? Are you eating meat or do you need milk? You let me know where you're at and I'll know what to feed you. But I'm talking to believers tonight. I'm talking to fresh. I'm talking to eagles tonight. I'm talking to people that can handle the word of God. I'm talking to people that come here for correction to say, I want to be better. That's what I come here for. I didn't come here for a whistling in the wind. I didn't come here to see Jesus in the leaves. I came to see God in flesh.
Amen.
And when he talks to me, I take it seriously. So I can appreciate what Pastor Moore was preaching. I can appreciate what he was giving us. Because this is a love affair. I serve God because I want to. I'm here because I want to be here. I won't let Satan take that from me. I got off work early enough to make it. I got gas enough in the car to be able to make it here. I put on my nicest shirt to make it here. I put on some cologne. I'm ready. I prepared. I read. I want to be here. And I act like it. You hear me in the songs? You hear me in the song service? You hear me when the word's going forth? You hear my amen? I'm a part of this thing. Where are you missing the boat, bub? Why can't I hear you? Why can't I see you? Why is this not a priority to you? You act like you want God to tell you how to love. I'm telling you every day. We got examples after examples after examples. If you don't know the examples, it's your fault. You're not paying attention.
Amen.
I told a brother one time, I said, if you don't have a job and you work in this place, you go to church in this place, it's your fault. You don't even know what's around you. You don't even know how good you got it. You're sitting in the midst of the greatest opportunity in Ohio. Ohio. The greatest opportunity in Ohio is right here. Sitting here. You can... Any job, school, university, education, can be handled. Contraction, contractor work, foreman work, engineering, education, mathematics, science, language, all healthcare. We got the best of all of them. We got doctors in here. Doctors in here, that can teach you. Master's degrees, bachelor's degrees, high school diplomas, wherever you're at, we've got an expert. We've got valedictorians if you're in high school. We got people that are top of their class in college, if you're in college. We got people that get employee of the month every month, if you're working a job. We got the best of everything you could want.
Amen.
And if you're struggling, it's your own fault.
Amen.
Just own up onto it. And I love how Pastor Moore said it. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life. You can come here all a wreck, no money, no nothing, and leave out of here and say, I can do this. I can do better. I'm going to start paying attention to who's really in here. Let me get one of those directories.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I'm just telling you, when you talk about a love affair, I love this place.
Yes.
I can preach on this subject until I'm blue in the face. I know I love this thing. The song says, I really love the Lord.
Amen.
Not just love, I really love. Let's throw that adjective in front of it. I really, 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 really love the Lord.
Oh,
I've proven it. Oh, make your calling an election, sure. Yeah. It should be, everybody should have that statement. Like I said, I'm only speaking for me because I'm here. But when you get the mic, you say the same thing. You should be able to say the same thing. I've been here for X number of years. I've always served the Lord. Speak bold. Claim that. That's a testimony. You're stepping out on it. You're scratching your tires. You're saying, boom, Satan, you ever want to come back to me, come back to this service. Brother Childers, Pastor Moore, even Brother Branham, sometimes they say, hey, let this be one of those scotching moments. If you ever doubt anything, come back to this. Come back to this. Let this be your service. If there was a moment where you're like, I doubted this, I doubted that, let this be the service where you say, I'm making a choice. I'm making a stand. This is mine. Amen. Amen. Let's read one more quote, and I'm going to get down. This is a quote from Brother Branham, so if y'all didn't like Jesus' quote, let's throw this one out there for you. So let's go to it here, if I can find it. Yeah, they're in trouble. If they didn't take Red Letter or Brother Branham, then that's it. I ain't got nothing else for you. And that's a balance, too. You know that? As I'm pulling this up, I thought, you know, sometimes in different churches, they focus on stuff that don't matter. Right? I mean, we already talked about it before, but like, asking me what's on the menu at the marriage supper. Get there. Yeah, get there. Get there. Be invited. It don't matter what the restaurant got if you ain't invited. Get there. You should be eating now. You should be full now that you're not worried about this. If I'm eating dinner, I'm not worried about breakfast. Right? I'm not even, we're going to have eggs. No, I'm eating now. I'm eating now. If you're not eating now and you're worried about that meal, you've missed a lot of stuff. Anyway, let's go over here and read before I get in trouble. This is The Seed Is Not Aired with the Shuck. You like that book? 1965, paragraph 175 and 176. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to get down. How will you know, how will the world know that you love Jesus? When we love one another, that's how the world see. God sees your faith. The world sees your action. Love one another now. Be kind to one another. Talk to one another. Be patient with one another. And it says, and any further instructions we can give, baptismal, seeking the Holy Ghost, we don't have any rooms in here to do that in, you understand. The altar call of God has convinced you that this is right, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you want to join him, go and be baptized in his name tomorrow. Brother Branham is saying, love now. If we got to get baptized tomorrow, get baptized tomorrow, but you should be loving now. A lot of times, once I get baptized, then it's, no, love now. We can start the water and get that taken care of later, but you need to love right now. The altar, if God has convinced you that this is right, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you want to join him, go be baptized in his name tomorrow, there'll be men there to instruct you, and anything we can do to help you, we'll do it. We love them. We love them. That's how the world's going to know. You're going to show the love now. Don't wait till tomorrow to show love. Love right now. You've got an opportunity to love right now. Matter of fact, when you come out of service, that should be the most high you are because you've heard from God. You've heard the Word of God. There's churches that only lend 15 minutes to the Word. They sing for an hour and a half and lend 15 minutes to the Word. The preacher goes over 20 minutes, they're concerned. I was at an event, like I said, I'm going to get down. I was at an event, and it was a worldly event. They were doing Secret Santa at the YMCA. I know. I was there volunteering. And the lady, this was on a Sunday. And the lady says, hey, we're going to be here till about 6. And I said, no problem. I just got somewhere to be at 7. So 6 to 6:30, I don't care. You do whatever you want. We can clean up, do whatever. I'll be out of here. She said, where are you going? I said, I got to be at church. We got church. She said, I thought you said you had church this morning. I said, I did. I had church this morning, and I got church tonight. And she's like, oh, my, that's a long day. Now, mind you, we're sitting here doing Secret Santa for 4 hours. Not one time did she say, this is a long day, this is silly, this is dumb. None of those things. This is volunteer. We're all volunteer. Nobody's getting paid to be here. A long day. And I said, not really. It's the same amount of time we're here. 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night, about 4 hours. I get to break it up, take a nap, get to eat. It's better than being here. I'm just telling you, that's the world. That's all of the world. She represents the world. If you told somebody you had church 2 times on Sunday, woo! Honey, that's long. Are you going to be sleepy? No, that's the best day of the week.
Amen.
The other time I get churches on Wednesday night, I get three times only in a seven-day week to praise God with freedom, enjoyment, love, compassion, and see believers. And you want me to go sit with Santa? I'm just telling you how the world thinks, right? They'll do that on anything. Oh, church is long, but the Bengals game is only 3.5 hours. They'll stay awake the whole time for the Bengals game. They don't own the team, don't have no stock in it, can't even afford tickets to go to the game. Ain't never even been to the stadium. But they'll sit there for 3.5 hours, won't complain at all. Have food, have people over, excited. They'll lose. And they'll still go back the next week. Let's watch the game. I come here and I win every service. Every time I'm in here, I win. God speaks directly to me every service. I just keep winning and winning and winning and winning. I've been winning for years. And you want me to sit out on this? You want me to take a back seat to this? There's nothing that can get in the way of this. That's my testimony. I've been living this thing. I've been loving this thing. This is a love affair that gets better every day. This is the only thing that gets better with use. This is the only thing that gets better with time. This thing just keeps going. It gets better. I love God more than the first time I knew about Him. I love this place more than the first time I got baptized. I love God more than anything else. So there's nothing that can take that place. In every service, I put another log on that fire. I put another log on that fire. This thing is big blaze now. It's going to take a lot to put this out. And every time I think it might go out, I throw two more logs on it. Two more. Just when I thought it might. Just when I thought the smoke was getting a little black, let's throw another two more on there. That's how I feel about it. I'm going to tell you all this. Like I said, I'm sitting down. I'm giving you all some little secrets here. If I'm over there and I'm playing my trumpet and I get nervous, because sometimes I get nervous a lot, and I start messing up, I'm like, oh, you must need to testify. Right? That's what I tell myself. I'm like, don't keep messing up a song. Go ahead and testify. And if the line's too long to testify, I'm like, well, you need to get back on the trumpet. You need to figure this out. Play what Brother Warren's playing. Right? I'm telling you how I make sure that I don't get cold. Because what'll happen to you? You need to do something. Because let's say you're sitting there and you go, well, I can't sing that song. And then now you're not singing. Now that song's going on for a long time. Now you're getting colder. Now you're like, well, I do got to go to the bathroom, get a drink of water. What do you need water for? You ain't been singing. Right? But now you got the water. I'm just telling you how these distractions happen. Then you're like, well, I don't really like that song. I don't know it. I don't know the words to it. I don't know how that key goes. You better do something. Help the drummer out. Do something. You got to stay enthused in this. You got to push yourself. Nobody else is caring. They're all enjoying the service. Join in. Show this love affair. This thing is a two-way thing here. I love God and He loves me. It's not one-sided here. Oh, my. So how will they know? This is how they'll know. That love that you have for one another is how they'll know. The love that you got to fight for that love. This thing ain't just handed down. There's a lot of people that thought that they just lottery gifted into this. That ain't the case. You have to choose this thing. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It says, if God be God, then just serve Him. That's what I believe. I believe God is God. So I'm just going to serve Him. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Moore.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
By this, they will know. If they don't know that you're different at work, maybe you're not. If your family don't know you're different at home, maybe you're not. If your spouse, who knows you inside and out, don't know there's a different man living in that house of clay, maybe they're not. By this, they said, you know, when you leave here and you're talking about your brother and your sister and your kids are sitting in the car listening to you, Jay just went on and on and on. I wish he had shut up about 45 minutes ago earlier I got to go to work tomorrow. I'm just tired, and I've worked all day, and the kids are sitting there listening, and your spouse is sitting there listening. They will know. See, a lot of people think that it's just they'll know that you're his disciples by having love one to another. But if you, the opposite is, if you don't have that love, then you're not his disciple. I mean, it's not hard math. I can even do that. That's easy math. If you love God, you'll keep his commandments. If you love God, you'll love the Bible. All these things that Jesus said, if you love me, if you love me. That's if. But if you don't, you won't. If you don't love him, you won't be the manifested word of the hour, no matter how you fix it. You might go through the motions. You might look and fool everybody, and they think that you're doing exactly what they need to do. But you know. You and God know. Because y'all talk. And he's like, now you know you're playing. Now you know you're playing around here. I ain't in you. You know it. And you know it. You know, when he left every denomination in 1963, they never even missed him. They're still going on with the same old 6 and 7. And God's on the outside of the door. And then he says, if you open the door, I'll come and sup with you. Not with everybody. Individually, he's going to come and sup with you. And by this, they may not even like you. A lot of people don't like me. But they know I've been with Jesus. You know, it cracks me up because they might want to look bad at our church and think that, you know, we're this and we're that and we're short here and short there and we don't look like all the mess churches and don't talk like them and don't on and on and on. But then when they get to me, they'll say, now I know you got it. Because they know I've got it. So then they try to pick you all to pieces. That's what I said, y'all got to watch y'all example because people are looking at you and they're misjudging you by what they think they see. But by this, they'll know that you have love one to another. And when they look around this church, they can't help but see the love of God in here. I don't care if you don't like me. You say, man, I can't stand him, but he sure loved Jesus. The one thing they had to say about the disciples, and they didn't like the disciples, but one thing they had to say about the disciples, that they had been with Jesus. They may not like Fairborn Community Tabernacle, but one thing they got to say is, we have been with Jesus. And we have love one to another. Thank you, Brother Jay. I really appreciate that. What do they see? What do they see? What do they see when they look at you? Do they see a representation of God? I remember I used this example a lot when I was in ROTC and we were at camp. We had camp together all week, so we got to know each other pretty well. And this boy, he was bad. Cussing, he was a bad cusser, he's a bad actor, he's just bad. And then about Thursday, when we got to really know each other, we went to one of the rooms, and we were all sitting around in our chairs and just giving, because we were leaving after Friday, I think it is Friday, it may have been 2 weeks, and we were getting ready to leave, because we were close, we'd gotten close in that 2 week period. It might have been 3 weeks, but whatever it was, we were on the last day, and we're sitting around talking and having a good old time together, and this guy comes out and says, I'm a youth pastor at my church, and he pulled this big old cross out from under his shirt. Everybody in the room's mouth dropped, because he was the worst person in the camp. If you had come in there and tried to figure out who was the youth pastor, it wouldn't have been him. He was awful. I'm telling you, he was awful. I had a hard time liking him. And, you know, that takes a lot for me. But he was just awful. And then he pulls this big, I mean, I'm talking this cross was about this big under his shirt. And he pulled that out, and everybody's like, Yeah, I'm the youth pastor of my church. You'd have never known it. If you bring somebody from your work to church, will they be shocked that you're a Christian? I remember when I worked at Lowe's and I was getting ready to leave, and I told him I was going to go on a trip or something, and our district manager, who didn't even work at the Lowe's store, he called me. He said, "I heard you leaving." I said, "Yes, sir, I'm leaving. I got things I got to do." And he said, "I'm getting ready to go in the ministry, go overseas." And he said, "I knew there was something about you." He said, "I never could put my finger on it till just now." And I mean, I'd worked under him for like 5 to 7 years. And he's like, "I never could tell what it was, but now it all makes sense." Well, wouldn't you rather that be the testimony than for you to say, you know, "I'm leaving to go on a missionary trip," and it says, you go to church? They should know there's something different about you. They don't know, because see, people don't know who Jesus is. They don't know him, but they know he's different. And they don't know what they're looking at when they see you, but all they know is that you're different. By this, they'll know. All men, you don't have to be a Christian to know. They'll notice something about you when they're not even believers. You'll be the best worker, best student, best. Because you're going to do what you do is unto the Lord. And when you do it unto the Lord, you're not going to have to do it. You know, I'm painting a wall, and I'm like, "I ain't going to cut that in. Nobody will know it. I'll push the couch in front of it. Nobody will know it. Nobody will ever see it." Well, as a Christian, a believer, you want to do the best you do in whatever you do. You don't want to just have to do it just because nobody's going to see it. You don't want to half live because nobody's going to know it. You want to just do it as unto the Lord, because he's the one who's keeping track. I come to your house and see your wall not cut in, because I'm going to look. And I won't say nothing. I'll just leave it alone. I'll just leave it where it is. I'll say, "Well, amen." Because I've gone to the house and I've seen it. I'm talking from experience. I didn't grab the paintbrush and go and do it. But I didn't know it. But you ain't going to do that for me. Do it unto the Lord. If you're going to do it, are you in the house by yourself? And you're going to have to do something, like you're going to get away. Who are you getting it away from? God's sitting here looking at the whole thing. So do what you do is unto the Lord. If you're going to do it right. Don't half wash the dishes, because ain't nobody going to know you just really licked that bowl and put it back in the cabinet. Do it as unto the Lord. In whatever you do. And then you don't have to watch your back. You do your best. Take your best shot. Then you become the best employer and best employee. Then people will ask you, "How do you do that?" And you know what they'll find out? That you get everything that you get from right here. Come see a man. How are you such a good worker? The church I go to. What do you mean, church you go to? What do they got to do with your work? Well, they teach us to do the right things. And they teach us how to work. They do? Did they come and do it? No, they teach us how we're supposed to act. And when you act a certain way and you produce, you know, it's not hard to be the best worker. It really, in this lazy, God-forsaken generation, it is, I can be lazy and be the best worker. I can outshine the rest of the world on a rainy day. Because they're lazy. The generation is gone. So you don't even have to work hard to be ahead. They used to hate to have me to be the, that whenever they wanted to do time studies, because when I was in the factory, they did time studies. And what they did was they had somebody, the timekeeper, Neil used to be a time study man. They had this time study man come down, and they get somebody and time out how long it takes to do a just particular job. And then from there, they would multiply it out and find out how many widgets you're supposed to have for the day. They hated when I did it. They used to come up and tell me, "Nate, now slow it down. Now do that." I'm like, "I'm just going to do it like I do it." And They didn't like me to be the timer because I'd be honest and I'd work and I'd get the writing. I'd do 10 witches an hour where they would do 7 because they want that extra cushion in there for their laziness. They want to be able to stop working 45 minutes before the bell whistles to go home. And I don't care. I work right. Anyway, do it as unto the Lord. I ain't telling you something I ain't seen and done myself. I've been there. I've done it. Whatever job you have, I've been around it or done it. I know a good worker. I always tell my painters, if I'm painting, when I used to get the brothers to paint with us, and I could get them on there on Saturday morning, and I can always tell the painters, I can always tell the talkers. Because the painters were painting and the talkers were standing in groups talking. And I'd always go in and say, you can't get any paint done talking like this. Stop talking and paint. I mean, but that's this generation. But do it as unto the Lord. When they look at you, they should see the best representation of Jesus Christ. Your family, your job, your spouse, your kids. That's what they should see. And if they don't, today's the first day of the rest of your life. And matter of fact, by the way you've been, because of tonight, it'll be such a stark difference that they'll say, my, I noticed something's happened to you. I really love the Lord. Jay, now you want us to do a prayer cloth for you. Two prayer cloths. One's for Miss Courtney and one's for your business. I'm glad that God knows what he's doing. Courtney. 7 seconds later, she'll come. I appreciate the work that goes on back there. You know, and I don't say that everybody needs to do this, but you know how I say take field trips? Take a Sunday or Wednesday sometime if you've never, you don't have to do it, but just observe. You would be amazed at the work that they do back there. Huh, Courtney? That's a lot of work. Okay, so I got 2 cloths here. 2 more? Okay, hold that for a minute. 2 more cloths. I'm Sister Judy, where's Judy? Did you cut these? Did you do these? Somebody put a whole thing on I think we're running low. So however it appeared, who did? Oh, never mind. Yeah. Okay. Okay. 2 more. You know, I'm going to say this just because God's real. You all didn't know this, but last Sunday, I came here and I was really, really not feeling well. I was up most of the night, Saturday night, and I came Sunday morning, and I preached, and I did what I did, and I thought I'd go home and lay down, and I told my brothers about it, and John about it, and somebody was praying. Because while I was laying on my couch Sunday afternoon, all of a sudden, it went away. And I thought, because I had already called Jeremiah. I called Jeremiah and asked, will you want to run the service Sunday night? I was already making plans, didn't know whether I was going to be here or whether I was going to be here instead. I started making plans, and Lord touched me Sunday morning. So Sunday night, I came and ran my own service and been running for Jesus ever since. So I thank God for the healing, you know. And it's funny because I don't normally ask healing for me, and so when it happened, I was like, huh. And so but I didn't want to go without thanking God for his healing power. Now, the cloth doesn't heal, but it's showing faith. So that's what we're going to do here. But God is real, and I want to thank him for Sunday because I really, 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 really needed a touch Sunday. And, you know, I don't complain. I don't hardly even tell Clarice when I'm not feeling bad. I mean, when I'm feeling bad, I just roll with it. And usually by the time I discover I'm sick, days have gone, so I just roll with the second half. So. But God's real. Come on, put your hands in here, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come for you this evening, Lord, knowing that you are a healer. You said by your stripes you're healed. We're believers and we're receivers of your healing. And Lord Jesus, we have these four prayer cloths that are going to different places, different needs that maybe people can't be here or for whatever the reasons are, these cloths are going forth. Lord, you know the reason. And Father, we ask you to send forth your word. And Lord, let that word fulfill that which they're asking for. We don't need the details, Lord. You already know. You said you know even before we ask. But Lord, we ask you to send forth your word. And whatever the need is, however it needs to be handled, Lord, you do so, Father. And we'll never fail to praise to give you the glory. We'll come back and let the body know that you've answered these prayers. And you've moved once again as you've done hundreds and hundreds of times. And as many times as these cloths have gone out, people have come back and told how you've taken care of situations and sicknesses and things. And Lord, as we come before you tonight, we ask you to do the same for these four cloths going forth from here. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. There you go. I really love the Lord. Come back on Sunday. We're winding down the year. We've got a week before the Christmas program. Week Sunday. And then from there, it's going to roll right into Brother Rizzaldo. Roll right on into New Year's. Next thing you know, we'll be in 2025 if the Lord wills. And if he goes into 2025, then that just means we've got work to do. But until then, we'll just rejoice. Let the world know how much we love him. We're not playing games here. I really love the Lord. Amen. God bless you. And see you on Sunday, Lord willing. Pray for us. John and Dawn and myself will be going over to Indiana tomorrow. We're going to go see Brother Giles and check on him. You know, ask God to move more in his behalf. He's done a lot already. Amen. So keep us in your prayers as we get on the road. We'll be back tomorrow. And we'll expect to see you all, Lord willing, on the weekend. I really love you all, too. Amen. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. Oh, you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, he gave me the victory. Yes, I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord.
he's done for me. For he gave me the victory. Oh, I love. I really love the Lord. I want to sing that just one more time. I promise I'll go home. Oh, we really love the Lord. I love it. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. For he gave me the victory. Oh, yes, I love him. I really do. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. Oh, you don't know what he's done just for me. For he gave me the victory. Oh, yes, I love. Yes, I love him. Yes, I love. Oh, yes, I love. Oh, I really love the Lord. Oh, you just don't know what.